Thank you, Dr. Ozabel. It's such a privilege to be here. And thank you to YU Connect, to the Psychology Club, and to the Counseling Center for organizing this really monumental meeting where we can have an open and frank discussion about Torah approach and mental health approaches to what is often very much in the forefront of people's minds, dating and relationships. I currently live in Passaic, New Jersey, but the first 10 years of my married life, I used to live in Washington Heights, right near Yeshiva University's uptown campus. One of the highlights of my week was going to the big shul there called Breuer's, not affiliated with our yeshiva, but a few blocks away, on Motzei Shabbos. And every Saturday night, they have a choir, which ushers out Shabbos, and they sing a beautiful Shir HaMalos. It's part of the V'yitem Lecha that some people say at the end of the Shabbos davening, the Motzei Shabbos davening. And they end it with Shir HaMalos with a melodious choir. They sing Shir HaMalos, I can't do it justice, but it's beautifully done. The Chazan alternates with the choir. And they end off, as the Tehillim ends in that perek, Ure'ei B'tuv Yerushalayim. See the goodness of Yerushalayim. And think about it. Even Yerushalayim, which we daven for three times a day, every single day of the year, we ask Hashem as we approach the new week to look at with the perspective of Ure'ei B'tuv. See it well. See it positively. Because a person can have the greatest gifts in life and sometimes say, kacha kacha, not so great. Even Yerushalayim, Ure'ei B'tuv. And that's the way we begin the new week, looking with a positive perspective. When it comes to dating, there are some things that are easy to look at positively, and some things not so easily. Pirkei Avos tells us that Ayin Tova, a positive eye, is an extremely powerful mandate to develop our personalities. And with dating, it's important in at least four areas. Firstly, when a person is set up, let's say you're set up with a person who is not so ideal. You feel he's a real nerd. What does it say about me? That means that this shalchenis, or the connector, thinks that I'm a nerdette. So now we have a bad shidduch and the fact that this person thinks negatively of me. But if you think about it, if you think positively about the situation, almost everyone has positive things, positive aspects of them. Maybe it can work, number one. And even if not, it's important to approach the idea itself. Ure'ei B'tuv, this person, think how they were trying to think of me. That itself is very powerful. Secondly, on the date itself, when a person is dating, the concept of positivity is almost always forgotten, yet so important. It's very common for a person to ask himself or herself on a date, okay, I'm going out with this person for 2 whole hours. Tachlis, is this person marriage material or not? Sound familiar? So, to an extent, we live in a world which is very difficult because we get messages from so many different cultures trying to tell us how to form a relationship and how to date. On the one hand, we have the stereotypical Hasidish / very yeshivish approach, which is, let's go, 8 dates, you're not engaged, what's going on? Then you have the perhaps secular approach, which is only 4 months and you're engaged already? And we fall somewhere in between. It puts pressure sometimes on us trying to figure out, okay, I have to rush. But the firm approach to dating is not necessarily to decide, hey, I have to decide right now, is this person marriage material or not? Looking positively, trying to see, Ure'ei B'tuv, what positive things can I see about this person? Even leaving out the aspect of marriage is phenomenally important. The third aspect of Ure'ei B'tuv, looking positively with dating, is when a person gets back to the connector or the shadchenis. Let's say the date didn't go so well. We're almost programmed, we're primed to express our negativity. Or the famous four words, just not shayach. But think, both for ourselves and for the connector, how much Ure'ei B'tuv, looking positively, can be helpful for our sense of self and for the way that can confuse us. we're appreciative of the fact that the person thought of us. Okay, maybe it wasn't so good. But even the assessment, assessing how positive it is, itself is extremely powerful. Often things have to them more than meets the eye. And the fourth part of Arei Tov is really a global issue in dating. What if once in a while, dating just gets me down? Not going so well, no dates, everyone else is getting dates, everyone else's doors are decorated, and I just find nothing's working. What do we do? So there are two very important approaches that are extremely helpful in approaching the doldrums of dating. Firstly, if you think about it, most people, to an extent, as they mature through life, are coddled. Elementary school, high school, seminary, most of life, they really know what they're doing, or they're being told what to do. The first time a person can really express his or her full maturity is in the college years, and right then, you hit the dating, which means the concept of having the nisyonos, the ups and downs which everyone goes through throughout their lives, a person is really exposed to first and foremost with dating. It's the first time, but not the only time. So it's often helpful to look at dating, instead of looking at dating by Sharhu Sham in itself, to look at it as part of a global perspective. Ah, this is one of the ups and downs of life. And the question is, as religious Jews, how do we approach all ups and downs in life? The answer, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is that we have a continuum. Michtam Eliyahu points out, Veselevi says in his Drashos, that we have a continuum between Bitachon and the Shtadlus. We have to do something, and Hashem wants us to do something, and the rest is up to Hashem. But the Beis Halevi points out, we often think that Irish Tadlus means we help out Hashem a little bit. I'll do 10%. Hashem will do the 90%. It's a good deal. I only have to do 10%. But says the Beis Halevi, no. Hashem does 100%. I still have to do some actions. The actions don't correlate necessarily with the result that I want. I just need to do the actions. And therefore, if a person, to an extent, is doing the right things and going through what's normal for everyone else in dating, even if you don't see direct results, your job is to do your hishtadlus. Leave the drive into Hashem. Sit back and smile. It's not always easy. Of course it's easier said than done. But it's true in every aspect in life. As the Ramchal starts off in Mesiyos HaSharim, Kol Ish B'derech Chayav, everyone has in his life difficult things that go up and go down. That's vicissitudes. That's what life's made of. And it's important often to look at dating as just one other example rather than, oh no, I'm dating. At the same time, what if a person walked into Stern and said, I'm here, I'm enrolling myself in Stern, and I'll be out in a week. I'll graduate in a week. We look at her, she's crazy. The normal expectation when you're in Stern is that you have to be matriculated for the entire period of college. Now I'm sure there's a bit issue between the administration and the students, how long that is exactly. But it's definitely more than a week. If a person starts dating and says, oh no, dating is hard. Why is it hard? I don't understand. Often what's helpful is to normalize it and say, hey, part of dating is that it's not going to be easy. I don't walk in, sign up for YConnects, and then walk out with a chassan. And that's normal. Meaning, it's very hard to get frustrated and say, oh, this situation is happening, why is it happening to me? That's part of what happens. When I'm dating, that's the normal part of the course. Just like college means it's approximately 3 years, and I can't be frustrated if after a year I'm still in college, it's hard to be frustrated if you think about it. If I'm dating, knowing that, yeah, dating can be a process which takes a long time, a period of getting to know myself better, and to know others, to know about the world, and that will take time. It's normal. That should be our normal expectation. Although it's hard to admit, very often, when all one's friends get engaged, happily married, having children, and nothing's working for me, it's very normal to be frustrated. Chazal talk about that issue and give us three powerful words. Mishalcha yitnu l'cha. Say Chazal, it's absolutely impossible to open the door. And it's also impossible for a person to say that this person snatched someone else from me. You know, oh, this situation, all the guy that I want to go out with wants to go out with her, and the guys that I don't want to go out with want to go out with me. It's a carousel. No one can relate to that, I'm sure, but it's a carousel which drives me crazy. Let's say Chazal, Mishalcha Yitnu Bucha. What's yours is yours. No one can impinge or infringe on your parnasa or your private situation. Doesn't always make it easy, but there's a certain sense of security knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. This is an idea we all have been taught since we were younger, but it comes to a head often with dating. One last point to keep in mind is that it used to be the word adolescent was synonymous with teenager. Once you're 19, you're in your last year of adolescence, soon you'll be 20. You won't be a teenager anymore. Now that's still true. After 19, you're no longer a teenager when you're 20. But according to research, you are most definitely an adolescent. Most researchers suggest that we even get rid of the term adolescence altogether and call it the Odyssey years. A period of discovery of around 10 years, from approximately 15 till 25. It's a long time. A long time I'm figuring myself out. Which means that, together with dating, I'm still going to try and not necessarily succeed to understand myself. Which means, when a person is trying to figure out if she should start dating, it's important to have some aspect of knowledge of oneself, but certainly not to think that she's a work that is completed, because most Americans aren't finished till approximately 25. So the decision when a person should start dating, on the one hand, is based upon if everyone else is doing it, if it's something which I think sounds pretty normal, and I have reasonable expectations about my goals in life, my expectations, and at the same time, I shouldn't expect myself to be a work which is finished, because we're all works in progress. And the closing remarks I want to just leave you with is that there's a beautiful Torah Tzedopah by YU Connects, part two. In part one, my wife, who practices with me as the relationship couple and also does research about relationships, both healthy relationships and what can enhance married relationships, wrote an essay in the first volume of the Torah Tzedo, the YU Connects Tzedo, where she surveyed over 2,600 married individuals that were ever married, and it came out that the most important criterion that people rated, looking back at their own relationships, for what paired them with their spouses was shared values. Shared values means certain ideals that they think are important for life, what they hold is important, and how they commit themselves to it. At the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean that they themselves are finished. There's a situation that happened with me. I was talking to a group of married individuals about how sometimes it's important to encourage others to know you're still going through a certain process in life in terms of relationships. Sitting there front and center was a person who I was talking about. I didn't know that he was going to be there. And he was going out with a girl. The girl was very, very concerned. She was back from seminary for not such a long time. He was then starting residency in medical school. Now, he was sitting in front of me happily married, but he wasn't always happily married. When he was dating, she was concerned he never learns. Now, she didn't realize he was just starting residency, so he couldn't learn. But he was a person who was in the kollel in the past, and he was a person who was committed to learning in the future. So values doesn't always mean what a person is doing, as the Torah says, ba'asher husham, but it means goals, perspectives, and ideals. Those are the most important criteria, not the only ones, but the most important ones in terms of what can make a couple form a more perfect union. Everyone should have much hatzlacha, and I look forward to talking frankly in questions in a few minutes.
Do you girls want to sit over there?
There's more chairs there.
Okay. So in a short amount of time, I want to share with you two insights. One insight having to do with attraction, and the other insight having to do with communication and relationship. Attraction's a mystery. You know, we can meet different people, and some people will stir an interest, and some people won't, and we can self-reflect and ask ourselves, what is it that attracts us to someone else? There are three areas of attraction that we could tease out and separate. There's physical attraction, emotional attraction, and intellectual attraction. And really, for a relationship to culminate in marriage, you need all three. So let's go through the different areas. Actually, there's different parts of the brain that get triggered to feel different types of attraction. We all have a reptilian part of our brain, which is a very old, primitive piece. It's in charge of instincts, survival. The primitive part, the reptilian part of our brain, is in charge, is the center for physical attraction. And there's some coding that happens often very unconsciously that makes us think, oh, you know, that's an attractive face, or I feel something for that person. We can't always define it. There's a mammalian part of our brain. The mammalian part is the cerebellum, the middle brain. And that part is the one that wants friendship, emotional connection. So you see, it's a bit more evolved than the reptilian brain. It's not as instinctive. It's drawn to a relationship. We're hardwired to want to be in a relationship where there's an emotional connection. The other part is our higher brain, and that part is the part responsible for connecting over shared values. That would be hashkafa, that's what you were just saying, hashkafa, values of how I want to live my life, where I want to live my life, how I want to raise a family. So it's when we meet someone, we want to check out that there's commonality in that area too. What's the most specific, the most narrow type of attraction would be the one that triggers our higher brain. We're not going to be compatible with everyone, right? We're not going to have shared values with everyone. But when we find that shared value person, then we can kick in with our mammalian brain. On a first date, we don't know if that person can be a friend to us or not. How is friendship built? If you look back to your own experience making girlfriends, do you meet a friend, do you meet a girl in the hallway with your first day in Stern in the dorm? You met someone and instantaneously your friends? Not necessarily. Friendship builds over shared interests and activity and repeated contact. So it's very hard to know if someone's compatible with us, meeting them one time or two times. What we'll see is, we can see if there's a physical attraction, we can see if there's a higher brain attraction, an intellectual attraction, but we're not going to get the emotional attraction unless we give it time. We also don't get the emotional attraction because on a first date, how many of us are truly acting like ourselves? There's usually a game face that we have on, and there could be feelings, nervousness, or fear of rejection, or maybe despairing, like, oh, another one, like, this is not going to work based on experience, I know. So we don't know what's going, we don't really reveal ourselves. You know, Billy Joel, we all have a face. We don't really reveal ourselves fully on a first date or two, and the other person the same thing. So that's just something to keep in mind, that there are, when we umbrella attraction under one large umbrella, we're not really seeing the nuances of the person we're meeting. Is this a person that's sharing values with me? We have that piece in context. Is this a person who knows how to be a friend to me, who can support me up, you know, emotionally ups and downs, and vice versa? Am I growing to be, to have the capacity to be a friend to someone else? And then the physical attraction, that's a really wide spectrum. We can feel that for a lot of people. So that, when that kicks in, that can often kick in once emotional attraction's there, intellectual attraction, and that kicks in, and you have a really solid relationship going. I want to give you a piece on once in a relationship, or even after dating a few times, a common cycle of communication that potentially arises. I do a lot of marriage therapy. And every couple I see comes in with a different story. But every couple I see is really all the same. They think I'm brilliant because I get it. Like, I know before they open up, I know what's going on. I can't say I guess 100%, but most of the time, this is what's going on. I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to give you this awareness, and you're going to see how it plays out. It can play out also with significant relationships with friends and with family members. Hashem created us hardwired to want to be in a relationship. Okay, we said that. We want the emotional closeness. We want a partner in life. Fine. What happens, inevitably, something happens in a relationship, in a close relationship, when the person is important to us, sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes our feelings get hurt. It happens, okay? Now, I want you to think to yourself, at the time that someone has hurt you, that's been close to you, okay, a good friend, a family member, what's your common way of reacting? You can just raise your hand. Do you commonly lash out back and attack? How many, when they get hurt, feel the need to, like, lash out? Perfect. How many? How many feel the need to withdraw? Higher. Okay. You hurt me. I'm staying away from you. You're not safe, right? I don't want to get hurt again. So I'm going to withdraw. Attack is actually, in marriage and in close relationships, happens to be one of the mechanisms of reacting. It's pretty common. This is an unusual group. But if I want closeness, and someone, my partner hurts me, and I react either by withdrawing or by attacking, what am I getting? What am I getting? I'm getting distance, exactly. I'm not getting closeness. I'm yearning for closeness. I got hurt, oftentimes inadvertently, could be a miscommunication. I'm expecting a call, and all day I'm waiting, and the call doesn't come. And automatically my response is, I'm not important to him, and I feel hurt. And then he'll call, let's say, the next day or the next night. And I pick up the phone, and in my tone, since we're all withdrawers and no one attacks, I'm not going to say, what's wrong with you? I'm going to say, yeah. Hi, how are you? Fine. And I'm withdrawing. My tone is withdrawing. I'm not going to get the closeness. Okay, so what's the secret here? What's the trick? This becomes a cycle, because then either attack, or withdraw, and suddenly you have a couple, they're not talking to each other. The opposite, the remedy is the following. If we're hurt, if something happens in a relationship, with a guy, okay, because this is about dating, and we're not sure about what was going on, we might feel not considered, we might feel not important, we might feel insecure, check it out. Ask a question. When you didn't call yesterday, is it because I'm not important? And you know what? You'll be very surprised oftentimes. If you're in a relationship, you might find that the answer is, actually, I thought you told me you were busy all day and you had a test today and I didn't want to distract you, so I didn't call. Who knows? It could be something as positive as that. But checking it out and coming forward honestly. So what's honesty? Honesty is saying what? Honesty is saying, I'm hurt. That's what's honest. The anger piece is a secondary emotion. The primary emotion is, you hurt me. So being able to say, when you didn't call, I felt unimportant to you, and I felt hurt. Now, what is that likely to elicit in the other person? What? Defense? Okay, it could, but it's the most likely way not to get a defensive reaction. It could happen, but it's most likely to get an, I'm sorry. If we attack the other, their instincts kick in, and they're likely to either attack and withdraw. If we come forward with our softer, more vulnerable place, and that's why it's hard, because we don't like being vulnerable, but we come forward and say, I was upset by, or I didn't know what to make of the fact that, we're more likely to get a response that says, oh, I didn't know, I didn't realize, I didn't mean to. Let me explain the context, okay? So that's a little bit about negative cycles and turning it into positive cycles, and a little bit about attraction. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, first of all, again, thank you all for coming. I'm going to go back a little bit to talk about just when you're starting to be ready for dating, how do you know you're ready? We were all given some questions that we were supposed to sort of try to cover as much as we can, and that's why we're more open afterwards to the questions that you have of just different themes that you want to cover. So I'm going to try to go through some of them. How does a person know that they're ready to date? We don't want anyone to feel pressure that they have to date if they don't want to date, especially if they're very busy in their college years. Some people are not ready. The only person really that could answer those questions as to whether you're ready or not is really yourself. So whether you're seeing, as Rabbi Maybrook said, decorated walls or doors, right? Door. Whatever you're seeing, sometimes people are not ready. So a person might want to take the time to recognize why they're not ready or when they'll be ready. But for the most part, I think, and this is just my own opinions based on what we're seeing, readiness works best when people are really willing to self-expand. They call it self-expansion in the literature. Really, you feel like you have great friendships with your friends, but you're looking for a deeper friendship. And a deeper friendship doesn't only mean that you're expecting something from the other person. It really means that you're willing to really give to the other person. And I don't just mean give up your time and meet him here or meet him there or buy him a drink. I mean more of really giving. One of the most beautiful parts of marriage and having children, obviously, is to give of yourself. That, you know, you give of your time, you give of your patience. It, again, as Rabbi Maybrook pointed out very, very correctly, most of the skills that one needs for marriage, you need it more intensely for marriage and for having children, are wonderful skills, life skills that we need later on in life. So sometimes I complain when I hear different stories of dealing with the young men or young ladies, and I say to myself, like, when let's say I hear stories or examples of people saying, you know, it didn't work happen right away. I've been on many job interviews, you know, years ago, and there was a period in my life where I was looking for a job in between two children. I must have gone on 40 interviews. I didn't find, so every morning I went, I found a babysitter for the babies, and I went to find it, and rejected. That's just one example. But in life in general, you know, you're working on a project, it doesn't work out, you have to start again. So while this particular part of your life in dating is much more emotionally, emotionally engaging, and it's probably on a deeper level than someone just throwing a report back at you and saying, start again, it's wonderful to develop those skills of resilience, working for something. It's not an issue of working for something and it's not worth it. That's one of my pet peeves at YU Connects, is that sometimes when I deal with people who are single for longer, sometimes I had this recently with a young man who came to our office, and he said something to me like, he's having too good of a time being single. He told me his Sundays are free, he could do whatever he wants, he doesn't have to answer to anybody. And in my conversation, I was trying to help him grow up a little bit. In my conversation to him, he said a line which was really troublesome to me, but it was a little light bulb. He said to me, is it really worth it? Every one of my friends tell me that marriage is such hard work. And he looked at me and he's like, and the dating is so strenuous, like, is it really worth it? So I didn't get him married yet, but I did spend about 20 minutes, and I'll do it with any other person that comes my way on this particular question. Marriage is the most beautiful relationship in the whole wide world. There's nothing that compares to it, marriage and having children. It's the most enriching part of our lives. You can't compare it to a job or to anything else that you're going to have in your life. With all of that, anything in life that is beautiful requires a lot of work. So even to begin dating, just recognize that it means, again, it just doesn't just mean, okay, I'm two nights a week, I'm going to be on a date. It means he wants to go here and I want to go there. How are we going to work that out? It means that he's thinking of going for two more years of graduate school and I'm just in the middle of something. How are we going to partner together to make it work? It's from little things to big things. It means that he wants to live here and I want to live there. And that's why all of those kinds of questions work well when you like the person. You know, it gets me a little nervous when people are very limiting in their, whether it's the YU Connects profile or other things that I read, like, I'm only going to live here, I'm only going to live here, I only want to go out with these professions, I only want to look at this age group, I won't go out with this, I won't go out with that. I mean, you would have a very funny blog if I wrote the things every day of like the situation. Like today I heard something silly, but I can't even share it because you might know the people I'm talking about. But, you know, and I look at it, I'm like, you only, life, and we all know that as religious Jews and as people that believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, life changes every day. You know, you think you want this. I thought I grew up in California. I didn't ever think I would live here. I met my husband. I moved here. I didn't make a fuss. Whatever. That was my own decision. But what I'm trying to say is, you don't know where you're going to be. You don't know what job opportunities are going to come your way. So to kind of be open-minded, and that's part of the self-expansion. Like, am I really willing to share of myself even when things don't happen to work out my way? Dr. Pelkowitz always says nicely that marriage is about somebody that you want to hold their hand through the different hills of life. Not, God forbid, no one's trying to scare you that life is scary or that there's a lot of hills, but even in the best of situations, challenges come up all the time. Whether it's you go to parent-teacher conference and you learn something about your child that you don't want to know, that he's not behaving. You know, you need someone to come home and say, what are we going to do about that? Not, I'm done. Forget it. You know, like I couldn't say to my son, I'm leaving you in school, I'm done. Until you behave. I can't come to the principal's office all the time. That's the defeatist attitude instead of really working through those rich relationships. The other thing I just want to mention about being ready is, even if not ready, and I say this very openly on this campus, even if you say, you hang up the sign that says, I am not dating. I'm not saying you should, but sometimes you approach a girl, I'm like, I'm not, okay, or sometimes the boys. I say to them, don't close yourself off. If you meet a nice person on the shuttle, or you meet a nice, it doesn't have to be through Why You Connects. Doesn't have to be through the website. If Hashem sends something to you, I'm serious, if Hashem sends some kind of message, you meet him on the bus, you don't want to ask his name, you do, you want to text me after, who's that guy at the bus? I'll help you. Whoever you want to call, don't just, I'm not dating. What if Hashem has someone for you that you would date for the next year, two, three, and then that's the right person? I'm just, really, don't close yourself to say, I am, I'm not, I will, I won't. You know, sometimes I hear this all the time, I'm not dating for the next 6 months. What if? And it's just, it's not just about dating, it's about any opportunity in life. Not that you have to rush, but just walk around, maximize. You have so many wonderful opportunities at Stern. I didn't go to Stern, I went to a secular college. I didn't have all these programs and clubs. I went into college and walked right out. You have so many beautiful, rich opportunities here that you could maximize, and you never know how and through what you're going to meet the person. On that level, I also want to say, one of the questions I was asked is, what should you do to keep yourself busy if you are finding that you're focusing too much on dating, or that you're getting upset about dating? Take the time to, as they reference, develop yourself. At one time I was on a plane, she happens to be married now, she was at Stern, my husband used to teach at Stern, and she was a student, and she didn't get married right after Stern, it took her many years, I think she got married when she was 30. So one time I was on a plane, and she happened to be sitting next to me, so she said to me, what should I do to keep myself positive, to keep myself growing? She said to me, what should I be learning just to go through these single years? So I didn't have any good answers. Like, I wasn't one of those rabbeim, like, you should learn this parak of Tehillim. I'm not so, maybe mystical is the right word. But, and she, thank God, got married shortly thereafter, not at all because of me. The point was that we had a whole conversation about, is she doing all the things in life that she wants to do? Is she going to the graduate schools? Like, she shouldn't put her life on hold. You know, I'm not going away for the summer because I might meet him. I might do whatever, you know, you have dreams, you have schoolwork, you have other hobbies, you want to learn piano, whatever. I'm just giving you examples of enrich yourself as much as you can while you're dating, because number one, it just makes yourself a richer person. And number two, you're also more interesting to date because you have more things to talk about. And, you know, I go to this and I go to yoga. Maybe that's not a good example. I do other, you know, sharing with the other person what you do, it just gives you much more of an appeal to other people. Just want to mention one other thing that I realize now I should say is, also, part of self wanting to give to another person is being interested in what that person's interested in. Rabbitson Maybrook, or Dr. Maybrook, Rabbi Maybrook's married to a very special person, and should anyone, you could look up the relationshipcouple.com, which has a beautiful website. Rabbi Maybrook wrote an article in there, Dr. Maybrook wrote an article. And the other thing, and her and I are working on a study together, she had a great example. One time she said to me that she was talking to a girl, she was seeing a client, and she was saying that he's very into sports or tennis, and she's not interested in it. So Chani was telling me that she said to the girl, go read the sports page and learn a little bit about tennis, even though you're not interested at all about it. Just like you want him to be interested in the things you're interested in, try to look up stuff. Like if he bring, I don't know much about politics. My husband knows a lot about history. Every so often I try to read something that like I could sound smart with him. And he always says, this should be on, he always says, if I do me one favor, in terms of history or politics, don't talk. He always says, don't talk about, you know, what you don't know anything. I don't. I'm just showing you that it makes, well, if I was dating him today, as much as what I'm learning from Chani Maybrook, I would read up. I would try to read some history, something to act like I care, not so much that I'm interested, I care about what he's interested in. Just like I come home all the time and tell him the challenges that I have at work, and he tells me whatever happened that day, not with obviously details of what I shouldn't be saying, it's exactly what they mentioned. The deepest friendship that you could have is someone who texts you right before this class and says, right before, good luck on the Stern panel tonight. That means that he's on his mind, that he knows that at 7:30, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Yes, I'm talking about. That's what kind of relationship you want, that someone really cares about what you're interested in and that you are willing to take the time to care about his work and his learning or whatever he's doing in life. Same thing with the children, like they always tell you when you're raising children. I don't ask your kids, how was school today? You're supposed to say, how was that chemistry test? Or how was that, you know, how was, for one kid, I always have to say, how was recess? So if I said, how was school, he would give me an answer. How was, oh, recess was great. You should have seen me. I caught old, you know, goes on about the ball. That's the point. You have to pick what they're interested in. When you're dating someone and you like him, When you're dating someone and you like him, ask him questions that relate to what he said. You know, you told me that your grandmother is coming last week and you were so excited about that. How was that for you? Those kinds of questions to be interested in the other person. One of the questions I was asked quickly was, what are you looking for? If somebody asks you what you're looking for, what are you looking for? I would just highlight, as everyone knows, a mensch, someone with good midos. I'm less concerned about what they do professionally. I'm more concerned about the midos of someone who really wants to give to you and someone that you want to give to. So we're not going to spend too much time on that. One of the other questions I had is, what is the parental role? What is the role of your parents, your mothers, your fathers in this whole conversation? That should vary depending on your relationship with your parents. Some of you might talk to your parents about every little thing in life, which is fine if that's how you have your relationship with them for, you know, since you're young and you want them very involved in your dating. So then include them in your dating. Others of you might say, you know what, I need a little distance and my mother doesn't have to know everybody that I'm dating. I'll tell her when it's serious or when it's even anywhere near there. Everyone has their own place of where they want their parents involved. So I can't really comment on where you should put the parent or where you shouldn't put the parent, but I do want to say from the YU Connects perspective that I would encourage you, if you are trying to call somebody about your, like if you want to call someone to ask them if they know anybody for you, or you want to ask your friends or your rabbis or whoever, in our circles, I feel that it's easier to talk directly to you. A lot of mothers call and say, don't tell my daughter I'm calling, but who do you know for her? Yesterday a father called and he said to me, I don't want my daughter, if you bump into her today at Stern, I don't think she's here, I don't want her to know, but she's got a date. First of all, she doesn't have to. I hope he's not listening. Second of all, I'd rather talk to her about what she's looking for, not what the father thinks she's looking for. So even though sometimes it's easier to say to your mother, just call, please call. It looks so low not in for me. I don't really want to call. I don't have to sell myself. Wherever you feel, and you don't have to be, you know, one of those, wherever you feel that you could interject and you could call the person directly, it's easier than to deal with the middle people. You understand what I'm saying? Like if you put middle people in the middle, what did she say? What did she mean? What did she tell you? So oftentimes when people call, we try very hard to tell the parents, can you do me a favor? Just ask your daughter or your son to call directly, and we're happy to meet them. Okay, we said that. What else did I want to say? Oh, and then the last part I also wanted to speak about, it says like how flexible should we be about what we're looking for? Again, everyone in this room might be looking for different things aside from a mensch. You might have little other categories underneath, although I just think mensch is important. But be flexible. Be open to, if someone has good midos, and as Tavora Levy said so correctly, attraction grows often. Not every single time, but attraction can grow if you find someone who is a valuable person and someone who really cares about you. don't, this is another thing that I wanted just to highlight before we open it up for questions. Be careful when you dismiss early. We're finding in the YU Connects office a lot of regret, you know, and it's fine. I just feel badly that give things a chance. Just like you, like if you go out with someone and you're upset that he says no fairly quickly, and you said, I wish he would have given me another chance. My husband, and it's funny because I'm not so quiet, maybe I should be quieter, he always tells me, the first two dates you were so quiet, on the third date my personality came out. I don't really know what he means or what I did on the third date different, I don't know. But he said that, and I always think to myself, well, what if he just would have said, she's quiet. I always said to him, so why did you go? You were so nice, even though you were quiet. Maybe I was nice because I was quiet. I don't know. But he said that all of a sudden on the third date, he took me to some pizza shop in New Rochelle. I don't even know if it exists. And he claims all of a sudden I got outgoing and bubbly. I don't really know. But the point is exactly what she's saying. Is like it wasn't a quick, we're getting married at all. It takes time. So just like you want that for yourself, you should also give that to other people. And really, before you break up with someone, as Rabbi Maybrook said also, realize that sometimes these things take time and really make like a din v'cheshbon, like, am I sure that he's not for me? Or maybe he's not for me and after a few months, and I welcome and I invite you all to do this. Sometimes you go out with someone and you said no too quickly or he said no too quickly. You have to sometimes revisit relationships. We're seeing a lot of that where like a guy will say to me, I went out with her a year ago and I only went out with three times and I said no quickly and a few people encouraged me to go out with her again, so I did. Thank God. But also for you, like in any area in life, you know, it's, and as Rabbi Maybrook said so correctly, so much of the dating experience, these skills, these life skills go on in life where you might have other nisyonos in life where you have to say to yourself, did I really do the right hishtadlos? You know, did I really do the right hashtaglos? Did I make a din b'cheshbon before I dismiss this idea? And again, it's not just about that. It's about anything in life. It's about a job. It's about a friendship. It could be in any role in your life where you just, oh, I have this thing. I always want to walk out saying, okay, I thought about it. I analyzed it. Not too, you know, too much. I analyzed it and I did the right thing and I'm ready to walk away from it. Or I'm ready to jump in. Decisions are hard to make in life. But you want to feel that you gave it, not these, you know, I forgot what some guy today also, he came into the office and I was telling him about a girl. He's like, no, just like that, no, no, like that. So I said, okay, you know, I said to him, and he said no for like a little silly reason. Really, like it was just the ridiculous reason. So I said to him, okay, I'll give you a little time. But when you realize, I said it in a very nice way, don't get worried. When you realize that that's a little bit, that's not so significant, calm down. I mean, because it was just like a, no, like that, no, no, like a, you know, you click no on Amazon. This is not, seriously, it's that, it's a big challenge. And that's, I should just add before we open it, that's one of the challenges of today, I think different than in our day. And this has nothing to do with YU Connects, so forgive me, I'm not apologizing. We live in a world where like you could customize things, you know, when you order something, whatever you order, it comes exactly what you want. You could order a computer exactly how you want it. So same thing, we use Sayut Sinai's database because it has so many people on it and I didn't make up all the questions. So if there's too many questions, I agree with that, yet I'm trying to be compatible with their large database. But we don't order people, you know? So like you have to recognize that in our day when we went out with someone, we didn't know that much. We just knew he's a nice guy, he went to this yeshiva, and maybe he's at YU. You girls, I should say, could in two texts or two Googles find out everything that you need to know about a date before you even meet him. And to that, on the negative side, that's a little bit of a disadvantage because it takes away a little bit from the mystery. You know, sometimes I have people who go out and he'll tell me before he goes out, what could you tell me different about her? I know how many siblings she has. I know where she went to school. What do you have to talk about? You know, I'm worried. Like, you have to think about things to talk about. I know where she went to school. I know her father's the coach of this. We didn't know nothing. We didn't know much of that. So take the time to explore. Take the time to think of other questions if you know all those already. And just make sure that you feel that in any stage, whether you're not ready, you are ready, you're always walking with open eyes and like Hashem's directing me to opportunities that come my way, whether they're now, they're later. And with that, we want to ask Dr. Ozabel to take the questions.
Okay.